Good morning. How is everybody? High five two people and say, it's raining. All right, now you got to fist somebody and say, I got a halo. Okay, that's a pastor joke, but you do. There's a halo in your seat. I hope you understand that. That's not, see, I told you, we got to have fun in church, you guys. We got to have fun. We got a halo. So afterwards, there is some folks in the crowd that want to throw it at me. So it's okay. We can do that. We can do that. Which leads to, speaking of that, we're you know, if I get real dirty, I might need to wash off. So I'm going to tell you something. On Easter Sunday, we're looking to wash off in baptism. We're going to have baptism on Easter Sunday. We're looking to get everything planned up. I just want to let you know we're getting everything worked out, but we're planning to have baptism on Easter Sunday. So if I still smell like orange then, I'm just going to say I have a lot of halos thrown at me. So you're welcome. That's how we roll today. So if you got your Bible today, I've been so excited. That halo is going to make sense here in just a minute. If it doesn't, then just eat it and do it, you know, and act like it does while you're, you know, got your mouth full. Yeah, you know, you just got to do your thing. As we're getting ready today, I really was thinking about the fast. So I just want you to know this. I wanted to have Skittles today. But one of the things I'm trying to get away from is some sugar. So I couldn't mess with it. So I couldn't have Skittles today. So we did halos because that's natural sugar. That can work, right? So be thankful, everyone who's on the 21-day fast. I'm doing it with you. I'm thinking about you, okay? And if you're not thinking about me, that's okay. Don't throw a halo at me. It'll be all right. So that's what I had for us as we were getting ready for today. But these past few weeks, guys, I'm just going to tell you, I've been excited through this fast because it's been leading up to what we're doing. Remember when you were growing up, everybody had those. Well, I say when you were growing up, not everyone, but everybody had those bracelets, what would Jesus do, you know? Does everybody remember those? Okay, I was the church kid. Awesome. So I see a few nods, and I see a few folks. If you're online, do something. Give me a smiley emoji or maybe a frown. I don't know. If you remember those days, it's really funny because, you know, everybody wore them. Well, they're coming back. You know, folks are starting to wear them again, and it made me think, like, how much of that worked for me? Because it didn't. I just had a halo with me. That's about it. It didn't change anything about me. But I started thinking, you know, to understand what would Jesus do, we got to really understand what Jesus would undo. So as we've been getting ready throughout this entire year, we started the year talking about living a selfless life. I don't know if you remember that. We were talking about how we could reach our 2018 goals, how this year was going to be the best year yet, the most awesome year we've had. Like, it's the year that we know is the year of selfless, the year less of me and more of him. And then we talked about true worship. I don't know if you remember that. We did that from my house. We had some crazy weather. David had to come in, and Alex and Zach and all the folks that are here came in, and we got to broadcast it live from my house, which was great. I didn't get anything thrown at me that day, so I'm hoping today's still the same. And we talked about what our true worship is. And over these last few weeks, we've been talking about what friendship really is and this thing called friending. And we laid the groundwork of the foundations of friendship, and we talked about we're one friend away from our entire future changing, one community away from changing the entire world. And last week, we talked about unfriending religion, which is really fun. I had a good time. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was sick, and it was only Jesus that we got here. So know that today it's the same thing. We're going through some things, but it's only Jesus. So I'm believing. We're about to pray, and I'm going to get you to open your Bible. And if you don't have one, we have one for you for free. Or if you've got an app, I'll make sure that you go to Bible.com or the YouVersion app. Go on your device, and you can thumb there. A lot of folks thumb there now. So do that. But I'm believing Jesus has something for you in this series. As we build up to Easter, we've got to see why Jesus came and what he would really undo. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get in our Bible, and we're going to have some fun, all right? And I'm going to bless the halo if you were to happen to eat it. I'm not going to be mad at you. So it is what it is. So, Jesus, thank you for this time together. We pray a lot in church. We know that, and sometimes that can get really weird. But the reason that we do that, God, is because we just want to do whatever it is you're calling us to do. You know, right now, we've heard, like Alex was talking through the fast, how sometimes we can't hear you or sometimes we feel stuck. And as David was worshiping and the songs we were singing, Jesus, as we were worshiping together, you know, we just have to remember we're receiving your reign and your reign is blessing. And so right now, Jesus, you have a blessing for us. I just pray that our hearts would be open to see it. Whether we get to see it all the way through today or not, let us be able and bold enough to respond to the next step you're calling us to today, whatever that is. And let us know that we're not walking it alone. So, Jesus, bless this time. Let your name be lifted high. It's in your wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. All right, awesome. So, as we're setting up, you've got your halo. Oh, and bless the halo, Jesus. I forgot that. The halo, they're going to throw them at me. So, Jesus, bless the halo if anybody wants to eat it. So, thank you, Jesus, for that. If you got your Bible, today's going to be fun, I hope. If not, than eat your Halo, and there's multiple ones. You can have more than one, and you'll have fun with the sugar from that. Because, you know, I told you over the past few weeks, if you know me, there's two places I'm going to be in the Bible. I'm either going to preach from Joshua, because that's my dude, like going in the promised land, helping people step deeper into God's promise. That's something that it fires me up, it excites me, it gets me ready to rock and roll. Or I'm going to talk from the Gospel of John. And so get your heart excited, because over the next few weeks, we're going to be in the Gospel of John. And I can't tell you how excited I am, because it's funny, I've been speaking about David the most, which is how Jesus is growing me to see what David walked through. But what we're going to talk through over these next few weeks in the Gospel of John is, what would Jesus undo? You see, what's important is in the Gospel of John, Jesus has some statements. They're called the seven I am statements. Now, we're not going to go through this over 7 weeks. We're going to pick a few of those I am statements over the next 4 weeks as we lead into Easter. And we're going to talk about how Jesus was speaking what he is to talk about what he was going to undo. Okay? So if you got your Bible, we're going to be in a familiar place. We're going to be in John 15. If you know anything about me, John 15 is how we're going to roll. We're going to be in John 15. So while you're thumbing there in your Bible, I am going to set this up to say, growing up in the Christian life, so many times we talk about this thing called fruit. You have fruit in your chair. At least I think it is. It's not a vegetable, right? We're good. You got fruit in your chair, right? We always say, where is the fruit? And so the Skittles reference today was going to be Taste the Rainbow. This is how it rolls. But I knew we're on a fast, so I love you. So I knew we're on a fast. And so I wanted to talk about this thing called fruit, because so many times in our life, isn't that sound confusing? Like, when you say, where's the fruit? Like, I remember the Skittles commercial, and people got Skittles all over their face. Like, you expect, like, my freckles, you know, like, that could be fruit. Like, they got those, like, Skittles everywhere. And when Christians say, where's the fruit? Like, you would expect to see it right away. Like, you would expect to see it on them. Like, where's the fruit? Like, hey, are you being fruitful in your life? Where's the fruit in your life? Don't we hear that a lot? Am I the only one that's ever heard that in my life as a Christian? Like, the Christian life is fruitful. I don't know about you, but I'm not growing apples on my hand. I'm not growing oranges out of me. Like, what does this mean? Be fruitful. Be fruitful. So today, that's kind of where I want to be when Jesus is talking about, I am the vine. So today, you're going to see the groundwork of the church. Today, you're going to see the life verse that I will tell you. You see John 15:5 on everything I write. But we're going to talk about what Jesus would undo through the I am statement, I am the vine, and unpack this thing called fruit. Because it can be weird. And sometimes you could just be like, what do you mean fruitful? Like, fruitful, does that mean I'm rich? Like, people define it sometimes as rich. People define fruitful as quantity of people that come to church. People define fruitful so many times as your prayer is heard. People define fruitful so many times as you communicate well. People define fruitful so many times in our life that it can just be downright confusing. And we can get it confused with what Jesus is saying, because the world will throw the expectation of what fruitful is. The world will tell you fruitful is a successful career. It's having 3 kids, 2 dogs, 1.5 cars, you know, living in a 5-bedroom, 6-bedroom house, you know, on a 2-acre plot of land with 4 swimming pools and a lake in the backyard and fishing rods everywhere, right? Like, that's what the world can define what fruitful is. And sometimes we try to mix that into the Christian life. And we think, okay, well, what's going on? Well, Jesus, I'm not seeing the fruit. Like, where's the fruit? Am I the only one that's ever felt this way? I don't feel like I am. So I want to go ahead and free you up. Maybe you're online. Maybe you're here with us. You're part of our eFam online, or you're here with us. This is always an open dialogue. I don't want to stand up here and give a lecture. This isn't what this is. This is me just talking with you and teaching you and telling you what I've learned. But that means sometimes you can talk back. You can say amen. Don't throw the halo yet. Just let me at least dive yet. Like, if that's going to happen, let me try to get some moves on. But you're not speaking to me when you do that. You're giving God the glory, okay? So know that. So if there's something that speaks to you, don't be afraid to speak back. Because I don't want to stand up here and talk to myself all day. Because y'all already know I'm crazy. It's just going to be even crazier if I do that, okay? So y'all join in. We're going to be in John 15:5. So we've set this up. And here we are. We're going to talk about this thing called I am fruit. And I want to lay, once again, this ground, like, where's the fruit, excuse me, and Jesus saying, I am the vine. I want to lay the groundwork of where we are. Because you got to understand the setting. Because so many times in the Bible, in the New Testament world, when we talk about the Acts church, like, Jesus has already came and rose again, and we have our expectations of what grace and mercy and this looks like. And we miss a lot of the Old Testament references that Jesus is bringing up. So when we talk about this thing in a minute and we say, I'm the vine, you're saying, like, okay, yeah, I'm the vine. That's awesome. Yeah, I know apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. Yeah, I get that. But you got to understand the reference that it's coming from, okay? So we're talking about the seven I am statements of Jesus. Know that in the Old Testament, I am is mentioned 160 plus times. It's also translated as Yahweh, the word that couldn't be spoken, the thing that couldn't be said in Jewish culture, like Yahweh, couldn't be said. 160 plus times it is mentioned in the Old Testament. So when Jesus is leading up to this to a Jewish crowd, it's really weird when they've heard I am 160 times, and all of a sudden he says, I am, I am. So for us, we've got to have that frame of reference. There's some learning here that we have to unpack because it can be really hard, because you can just be like, oh, that's awesome. Jesus told a cool story about some fruit. That's great. But you got to understand the reference that he's coming to. So we have 160 plus times that I am has been spoken, but we got to unpack what the vine means, okay? Because in Jewish culture, all throughout the Old Testament, the vine always referred to Israel. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, God set apart, was always referred to as the vine. And so what's really crazy is God's people were referred to as the vine. So you would think if it's God's chosen people, the vine always would bear fruit, and it was always a good thing, right? Like when God talks about the vine, it's a good thing. The vine was always spoken with judgment. It was God's judgment upon Israel in the Old Testament. Like even if you look in the prophet Isaiah and he's talking about the messianic prophecies and he's talking about what Jesus is going to be, he's saying the vine will wither but not die. The vine was always meant to pronounce God's judgment upon Israel. And he would always say the vine would not die completely, but it would wither. So to this Jewish crowd, they hear this person saying that I am God, and now he's saying I am Israel. And he's pronouncing this to them. And so they're just like, who is this guy? Like, this is crazy. So we got to have this frame of reference to go that Jesus is really meaning something more here. So he's saying, I am the vine. So no, in Jewish culture, the vine was always negative. And before we even get started and we go in there, Jesus is literally pronouncing the gospel to these people. He's pronouncing it to you today if you've never heard it. He's saying, I'm the vine. I'm the thing that you can't be, Israel. I'm the thing that's gone before you. I'm the thing that's going to take everything that is the law and fulfill it and live the perfect life. But also that thing that you deserve, death, hey, I'm going to die that for you. I'm going to do that. And because of that, you're going to have a connection and a relationship with the Father. And I'm going to love you enough that I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to raise again on the third day so that you can have heaven here on earth, life eternal. You don't have to wait until your life on this earth is ended so that you can experience heaven. And so he's laying the groundwork out to Israel, so the people that should know who God is more than anything. And oh, by the way, Yahweh couldn't be said much. Like Yahweh couldn't even be whispered in Jewish culture, right? Like it couldn't be said much at all. And here's this guy saying, I am. So think about this as we go forward. So we're going to unpack what would Jesus undo. And remember, he's declaring the gospel here. So if you got your Bible, it's going to be on screen if you don't, but I would highly recommend getting your Bible. Don't be afraid to write in it. You're not going to be like getting hurt if you write in your Bible. Nobody's going to come find you. Write in your Bible. It's always good. If you don't have a place to take notes, we'd love to get that to you too. But it's always good to write in your Bible because Jesus will speak to you through his word. And maybe there's just something you need to jot down. Write that in the margin. You'll come back to it later. So John 15. Verses 1 through 2 says this, and it should pop up on the screen. I am the true vine. Now, what do we say here? Israel was the vine, right? So Jesus starts off, I am the true vine. What? You're the true vine? That's crazy. You're the true vine. Okay, so Jesus continues on. He knows what he's declaring here. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he, that dreaded word, prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So here we are. Jesus is saying, hey, Israel, you aren't the vine. I'm the vine. I'm the way to the Father. No one can come to the Father except through me, right? Like, we know all these things. We can spit them out, but do we truly believe them? He's saying, I am the true vine, Israel, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. So here we go to this thing in life where Christians are told they're supposed to bear fruit. They're supposed to bear fruit. So how do we bear fruit? Well, this thing's called pruning, so that we can be even more fruitful. Now, I wish it didn't say that. Like, I don't know about you, but like, when I'm connected to the vine, I don't want to be pruned. Like, does anybody in their life like being pruned? Like, have you ever seen that? Like, I remember growing up, my grandma would sometimes like prune back roses or would get things ready. I don't know if you remember that. Or like, I would see them go in the field and peel back the dead leaves or cut off the dead leaves, prune it, so that the rest of the plant could survive. Like, did anybody ever remember doing that growing up or seeing that? We don't see that much now. That's like outsourced, right? Like, that's a weird thing. But like, it doesn't look pleasant, right? It doesn't look pleasant. And so the misconception so many times in life is that if you're a Christian, you're fruitful, so it's easy. You're connected to the vine. Nothing happens. It should just be free and easy the rest of your life, smooth sailing. You have no problems. But see, it's what's wrong is so many times we think that it's that way, but Jesus says, hey, no. I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. And so what happens is you'll either bear fruit or you won't. But the only way you can bear fruit is through me. And the way that you do that is you're pruned. So let's unpack what that really means. If you've got an NIV Bible, it's really cool. A lot of times they'll put at the bottom a reference. And so when I look at verse 2, it says this. The Greek for he prunes also means he cleans. He cleans. So think about that. You ever tried to clean a child? That ain't fun. Or a dog or anyone. Like, that ain't fun cleaning them, right? Like, it ain't fun, but it's for their benefit. Because then they can go have more fun because they're not going to have all these germs on. Same thing for the food you eat. You like to clean it. You got to prune it back. And so to that plant, you don't think feelings, but what if we're getting pruned back for some things in our life? We're getting cleaned so that we can bear more fruit. Have you ever gone through a deep clean, like a deep scrub? Is that fun? I know on my spa days, I'm just kidding. Y'all know better than that. I know I've seen things like it doesn't look good, does it? Like, it hurts. It hurts. And so I will talk about this in a minute, but so many times in our life, in the Christian life, we can either learn from this time where we're cleaned or purified or pruned, or we can just keep going back to it and reliving it time after time after time again. And that's the hard part. I don't know about you, but I can tell you there are times in my life where Jesus has pruned things back and he's grown me and he's done that so that I could be more fruitful. I don't ever want to go through them again, but I know that that's why he did it, was for my good. So many times in our life, we have to see, hey, am I being fruitful or not, right? Like, am I being fruitful skiddily? Am I tasting the rainbow or am I not? Or is there fruit in my life? So let's unpack what that means. So many times we look at this and we say, okay, the Christian life has to bear fruit. Well, you're absolutely right. The Christian life always bears fruit because the Father, who is God, will prune it. And those that don't bear fruit, something crazy happens to them. He cuts them off completely. So they have no connection. So this is what matters. So many times when we think fruit in our life, we may think literally a halo or apples or whatever. But the fruit that it's referring to is a thing we often misquote in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You see, so many times we say the fruits with an S. Don't we do that in the South? The Walmarts, the Targets, the Dollar Generals, like we say all that, right? Like we put S's on everything, right? That's what we do. But we misquote that scripture. It is the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruit. So the fruit that we will bear in our life are those things. Like, if I really want to love someone more, I've got to be more gentle. I've got to be pruned back. God's going to prune back some things. If I want to be more faithful in my life, I've got to grow in love. If I want to grow in having self-control, I've got to go and be more kind to people. Isn't that hard to be kind to people when you don't want to? Like, isn't that the hardest thing? Man, I'm the only one struggling. I hear y'all. I can't wait. This fast going to be good. I'm going to get some things out of this. So many times in our life, the fruit that we bear will be those nine things. Those nine things. So my question is, what does that look like in your life? Because here's what Jesus came to do. He came to undo faithless fruit. He came to undo faithless fruit in your life. Because here's the thing. Fruit can only be born from faith. See, hope is the seed that faith waters. And so many times in our life where we can get stuck is we think that we can bear fruit without faith. And it says there are two types of people. People that bear fruit, and when they bear fruit, they're pruned to bear fruit. Or people that don't bear fruit. And what that means is that's a person who can quote to you every Bible verse. They sit on the front row every Sunday. They have their hands raised in worship. They can tell you all about the Bible, but they lack faith. Zero faith. And their fruit is fake. And I don't know about you, but I hate walking into a kitchen table and I see a nice, fresh apple. And I go to grab it and I squeeze it and it's like one of them little toys or something. You know, I can't get a bite out of it. It's just like, what in the world? It's fake fruit. How many people got fake fruit? The dust gives it away. Holla at your boy. I do too sometimes. So, like, right? The fake fruit. And the reason that we have fake fruit in our life is the world will put an expectation on us that this is fruit. Success is fruit. Job is fruit. Education is fruit. Money is fruit. Right? The world will tell us that. And it is faithless fruit. And so Jesus came to undo the faithless fruit in our life. He came so that we can have a connection to the Father, so that we can be pruned back. And the hardest thing is that pruning can just seem like the worst thing in the world. If you're walking through the 21-day fast, congratulations, you're getting pruned. That's why I'm excited to walk through it. It ain't easy. It's not. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm about to walk through a 3-day fast, and I can't wait. A full fast. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that Krispy Kreme Hot Now sign's going to be on every time I go by it. I know it is. But I know I'm not the only one. There are folks that are walking through this 21-day fast. I hear they're doing the Daniel plan. They're doing vegetables and water. I hear folks are walking through and they're giving up all carbs over this time. Or they're giving up sodas. Or they're giving up a TV show. They're giving up something. And you know what God's doing in that time? He's pruning you back. He's pruning that back from you. And it may seem hard. First week's real easy. But week two of missing your show, and then week three, that might tear you up. Your DVR broke. Like, what's going to happen? Your DVR is not going to work this week. It's going to try to relearn you. You're going to be mad, right? But you're going to see that God's pruning you back so that you can bear more of the love, joy, peace, forbearance, goodness, gentleness, right? Kindness, faithfulness, self-control in your life. God's pruning you back. The beauty of the fast is this. God will prune you back. So Jesus came to undo faithless fruit. So here we go, and I want to say this for all of us, for anyone who has ever walked through this or been a Christian maybe for 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 years, don't know who Jesus is, but a lot of times you'll hear Christians say what I just said a few minutes ago. God grew me in that season. I couldn't see it at the time, but God grew me in that season. And it probably wasn't pleasant. There are times in my life I can tell you where I have felt betrayed by others. I have felt like, God, where are you? I have felt like, God, if this is what you want for me, it sure don't look like it's working out. It sure don't look like things are lining up. Like, I had a plan, Jesus. It was a checklist, A, B, C, D. Read my Bible, pray, listen to what you say, do what you say, and I will be blessed. And my blessing means a $1 million house, right? Like, I had all these things lined up, and I did all this checklist, and I questioned God. But I look back, and I say, man, he grew me in that season. He grew me. Maybe he pruned people out of my life. Maybe he pruned relationships out of my life. Maybe he pruned jobs out of my life. Maybe he pruned cars out of my life, houses out of my life. Maybe he pruned things that I didn't need. And when I look back, I see that he grew me in it. And here's the thing. I don't ever want to have to be grown like that again. I want to learn my lesson the first time. Because I don't know about you, but I ain't got enough time to keep making the same mistake over and over again. Although I do it a lot. I don't want to do it every time. I would like to learn what God was trying to do when he grew me. So know the first thing that you can hear a lot of times a Christian say is God grew me. And if you can look back over your life, you see where you've grown in the fruit, not fruits, fruit. Everybody go fruit. We can do it. Good. We all spit on each other. You're welcome. We're all in the family. Fruit, where we grew in the fruit of the Spirit, we can see that God's growing us. So my question is, what does that look like in your life right now? When you look over those things, do you see God growing you anywhere in that? We talked about it. Alex talked about it in the welcome, where you think God's silent. Look at those 9 things. See if he's growing you in one of those things. Hey, self-control is a big one in the fast. Oh my goodness, self-control when you're walking through the fast. And if you grow in self-control, you'll grow in everything else. The beauty of those fruits is they all work together. The beauty of the fruit. See, I do it too. The beauty of the fruit is they all work together. We'll never be 100% till we go home, till he calls us home to heaven. That's when we'll have all of it fulfilled. We'll have every one of those fulfilled. That fruit of the Spirit will be 100%. But none of us, if you can say you're 100% today, I'm just going to drop the microphone and let you come up here and preach, because I definitely ain't. I definitely ain't got it all together. I definitely can grow in some love. I definitely can grow in some self-control. I definitely can grow in some faithfulness. I definitely can grow in some goodness and some gentleness, some forbearance. I can grow in some kindness. Can definitely do that. And so maybe you're here today and God's showing you that. And I believe that if you will just surrender and trust him in that, you'll see that Jesus came for faithless fruit. Y'all, I've been spent too long on that. We're going to keep rolling. We're going to keep rolling. Okay, John 15, verse 3 through 8. And this is where I could get real excited. So y'all going to have to help me calm down here. Okay, John 15, verse 3 through 8 says this, if you're reading along. You are already, what does that word say, y'all? Clean. Remember, God prunes. So the gardener prunes. Jesus is making a statement here. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You are already clean because of Jesus. He is declaring to all of Israel, I'm what you can't be. And because of me, you're already clean. So you are already ready to bear fruit because of Jesus. You are already clean. This is where it can get really crazy. And this is where it's really fun if you understand the context of where it's coming from, which we can all get stuck in sometimes. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You can't do life alone. You can't do this by yourself. If there's one thing that I want you to understand today, is everyone in those chairs, everyone that's watching online, every child in Vine Kids right now that's learning about Jesus on their level, we need each other. God's brought us here for a purpose. All of us, all of our strengths and weaknesses are brought together for a purpose because we're connected to the vine. And we're only going to see fruit at the vine, like what I did there, fruit at the vine if we understand that we need each other. God has brought us together so that we can bear fruit together. Because one person holding a microphone can't bear fruit. One person singing a song can't bear fruit. One person that does amazing slides, thanks Harley, by the way. One person getting slides, or one person getting the counter ready. I see you, Zach, in the back. Everybody that's behind the scenes. One person can't do it all, but together, oh, the places we will go. Together, oh, the things we can do. One person by themselves can't bear fruit, but together we can grow together. And when we grow together, we'll bear fruit together. The hardest part in the Christian life is learning you can't do it by yourself. This prideful Christian here can tell you, I can't count on all my fingers and toes, and yes, I have them all. All my fingers and toes. I haven't had that accident yet, but one day. I can't count on all my fingers and toes where I've messed up trying to do it by myself. And I have not heeded the word of the Lord that says, hey, no branch can bear fruit alone. It must remain what? In the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is where I'll get excited. So I'm going to take a deep breath. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now hold on. What now? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is telling this Jewish audience, hey, you think you're the vine. You think you're God's chosen. But guess what? I am. And you can't do anything unless you come through me. I am the vine. How crazy is that? How crazy is that to these people? And you wonder why they incited riots, and you wonder why they were so mad at him. And so many times we're just like, I wouldn't be like the Pharisee. Yeah, you judge that person that cut you off on the way into church. Don't lie, because I did too. You are pharisaical when you do that. You are just as bad as they are. I am just as bad as they are. So many times in our life, we can miss that. But don't miss what Jesus is saying right there. Don't miss it. He's saying he is the vine. We have to remain in him. And it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like what? The branch thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. What a positive outlook, huh? So in other words, the Christian life will bear fruit, that weird thing we talked about. The unchristian life won't. It'll be temporary. It'll die. It'll be thrown in the fire. All that temporary success, all that number one, all that, hey, I admit I won the gold medal at the Olympics, that's awesome. That's great. Guess what? It's going to die with you. Doesn't matter. It's not eternal. But I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records. Awesome. Somebody else is going to break your record. It's awesome. It's faithless fruit. Faithless fruit. But the Christian life will bear fruit. Will bear fruit. So we'll continue on. We'll continue on. Remain in me, and my words remain in you. That's what I love. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Careful what you ask for. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The second thing that Jesus would undo is offended avoidance. And I'm going to unpack that here. Offended avoidance. You're just like, offended avoidance. You see, Jesus is saying, I am the I am. And you can only come to the Father through me. But what's happened is, these Jews are offended. And so anytime in our life, like, I haven't had the pleasure of having kids yet. So I will tell you, parents, you'll know. Or maybe if you've got a pet, we can go there. But can you just tell the day that has happened by whether you're avoided or not? Like, if you're a parent and you go home and your kids avoid you, something probably happened, right? Like, something bad probably happened. If you don't have kids, I haven't had the pleasure of having that yet. Maybe you have pets. You know, the trash is thrown all over the house. Is the dog anywhere to be found? Probably hiding over in the corner, right? Like, it's avoiding. Like, our natural tendency when we feel we've offended someone is to avoid them. And what Jesus is trying to tell Israel right here is, hey, you've spent all this time trying to avoid God because you know that you've offended him. And look, I'm standing right here. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can come to him, but only through me. Stop being offended. Stop avoiding God. Stop avoiding trying to be with him. Stop being proud of thinking you're the only one he's chosen. Don't be offended and avoid. Come straight to the vine. Come straight to me. When you come straight to me, you'll have exactly what your fathers were promised. You'll get to live it out. You'll get to see the blessings. And here's the good thing. Not just you, Israel, the entire world gets to do it. So when Jesus came, he came to stop offended avoidance. So many times in our life, when I'm offended, I just avoid things. Avoid things. When I'm offended at Krispy Kreme during the fast, I don't go by Krispy Kreme. I just avoid it, right? But why do we as Christians do that? You know, when we're guilty of something, we think that we've got to avoid God at all cost. We think that we got to clean ourselves up to come to him. And you see, the funny thing is, when I read that scripture, I didn't see that Jesus is telling people, hey, clean yourself up and then come be a part of the vine. He said, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Because you believe I am who I say I am, you're already clean. So stop being offended. Stop avoiding God. Stop thinking you've got to have it all together when you come into his presence. Stop thinking that, oh my gosh, if I just had this, God, I could do it. Oh, well, I screwed up there. Oh, I cut that person off. I told them they were number one. Not the Christian way. On the way in, I told them they were number one. And so I can't pray today. Oh, God, I was on this fast, and I broke it because you know what? That hot now was awesome. And it was for a coworker, and they were raising money. They were fundraising for a kid to go to summer camp. So I naturally had to do it, God. But I'm not going to pray about it because I'm just going to avoid you because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of your wrath. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. And there's nothing in here that says God's wrath is falling on you. It says you're already clean because of the word that you've spoken to Jesus. Jesus is saying, stop avoiding a relationship with the Father. Stop being offended because you don't have it all together. Stop the rules. Stop the regulation. Just lay it all down right now. That's all you have to do. But the world says you got to have this degree to do this. You got to go to this school to have it together. You got to be a part of this to have it, right? Doesn't it say that? Isn't the expectation of the world that? Like, hey, so I get to do real estate too. You got to sell X amount of homes to be successful. Do I? No. I only have to be successful to know why I do what I do. It has nothing to do with the numbers. Are the numbers awesome? Yes, but it's more than a number. It's about the relationship that I get to be a part of. Same goes true for you in your workplace. Whatever it is you do, God's got you there for a purpose. Don't look at the numbers. Look at the why. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Look at why I'm here. Look at why I'm here. So many times in what I was thinking about all of these things and I was getting all this together, it made me think, the craziest thing to explain in the Christian life is union with Christ. It's so hard to explain sometimes. And I think there's no better example than the vine. None. Because the thing is, you have Christ in you if you believe he is who he says he is. You do. You literally, literally have Christ in you. Through the Holy Spirit, you have Christ in you. And that's hard. That's a hard thing to conceptualize. Because the world is taught, just like this Jewish culture was, that God's out here. He's somewhere over here. The I am is somewhere over here. And I can't get to him. I don't know what I got to do. I pray a certain amount of times. I give a certain amount of money. I check off a certain amount of box, and I got to get over here. But so many times in the Christian life, we miss that it's more about union with Christ than anything we're doing. It's more about a relationship with Christ. It's more about growing in Christ than anything else we do. Just taking next steps, one next step at a time. My next step ain't the same as your next step. But if we take next steps together, holy cannoli, the fruit we can bear. Can you think about that? Like, imagine that. But so many times we get caught up with each other. Well, they ain't taking that next step yet. I ain't taking mine. Okay, yeah. How well does that work out? Usually don't. Married couples, can you say that? How well does that work out? It usually doesn't. I know in my 10 marriages, you know, I just, y'all know, tough crowd. Halos are coming. So, I know in my life, in relationships, when I get stuck on someone else's next step and mine, I'm trying to avoid them and I'm trying to avoid what God's calling me to do because I feel offended, right? Jesus came to stop that offense. Come to the Father. He's already died for your sins. Don't think you got to clean yourself up. Don't think when you mess up, you can't come to him. That's the hardest thing, right? I just cussed that person out, Jesus. I don't know why I'm coming to you right now. I just told them all they were worth. They weren't number one. They were dead last. They were number 1 trillion. They were infinity last. Like, they were the worst in the world. So I'm coming to you to say, I'm infinity in one, Jesus. I know it. Like, I know that I'm the worst of the worst. Like, I know it. Like, but so many times it's hard to do that because you got to humble yourself. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Humbleness, right? Gentleness, forbearance. It's the hardest thing. But when you can come and do that in your life and you come to the Father, you're willing to lay that down. But in your life, if you're not, examine your fruit. Try to see where you are there. Let's finish this up. Last question I have on that one. How great would our relationships be if we just lived that way? How great would mine be? I'm still learning. Once I finally figure out relationships, I'll be in heaven, I'm sure. It's just one of those things. Relationships are awesome, but they take work. They can be hard, right? But isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to have those people in your life? Isn't it worth it to have relationships so many times? And sometimes you'd like to tell them they're number one. Yeah, I know. But like, so many times you like to do that. The thing is, when you're offended in a relationship, you don't avoid each other. You just go to each other and you talk it through, right? A real true relationship. So let's finish up this story and see where we are and see the last thing Jesus would undo through this story. John 15, 9 through 17 says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. It's that famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave. So as the Father loved his Son, Jesus is saying he loves you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. That's a lot of remaining and a lot of love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Really quick, does anybody know there's a difference between joy and happiness? Right? Married couples' happiness was like the third date probably. Right now you're in the joy of your marriage, which is something that's greater than happiness. It's more than a feeling, right? Like any relationship you're in, you have that happiness. Like inside you, right? Like you get the warm tinglies. You know, I used to get all excited. Oh, that's just so sweet. Oh, I can't believe he bought me that. And then it's like, get your towel off the floor. Like, right? Like, it just gets crazy, right? Like, you just see this other person come out somewhere in your life. Like, right? Like, something comes out and it's crazy. Maybe not. You can tell I'm not married. So, that being said, maybe I'll learn. So that being said, so many times in our life, our happiness is what we equate to be our joy. And Jesus doesn't say that he died and he came so that you could be happy. He said he died and he came so that you can have joy. Joy is an eternal thing. Joy says, no matter what, if I'm committed to losing weight, I'm going to get up and do the things I need to do to lose weight. If I'm committed to drink coffee or read my Bible at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to have joy in that. Even when I don't feel like it, even when I'm not happy, welcome to the 21-day fast. Even when I don't feel like it, even when it makes me unhappy, I can have joy doing it. Like getting to church when you lose an hour of sleep. Thank you, everyone who's joining us, right? Like if you're joining in the middle of the week. We have folks that are here and they lost an hour of sleep. Like you can have joy in that. And Jesus said that he came so that your joy can be complete. Ever had complete joy? Just ever had complete joy? Me neither. I'm just kidding. Never had complete joy? I would say a parent that has a child will tell you about complete joy. When they saw that baby, they haven't seen, that they've prayed for. It's just out of 9 months, and all of a sudden it makes his appearance. It's just perfect, right? It's a perfect thing. No, nothing's wrong with it, right? Just have joy. You know what brings me joy? Seeing people surrender their life to Christ. That's the thing that brings me the most joy. It's the thing that gets me the most excited. It's the thing that wakes me up in the morning. It's the thing that keeps me up at night. It's the thing that even when I'm up at 1 o'clock on a morning that I know I'm losing an hour of sleep and I can't sleep, I'm wide-eyed and I'm ready to go and I'm coming in bushy-tailed, got it all together, that I even forgot, praise God for Alex this morning because he reminded me like my hair was a hot mess this morning. Like I had just put the gel in and y'all would have been like, okay. Like it was crazy. Alex had my back. So the joy in my life, y'all, for real. The joy in why I do what I do is so that I can see people surrender their life to Christ. And here's the thing, that's the ultimate joy of the Christian life, but at the same time, there's some things in your life that you have joy doing. Maybe you have joy helping people. Maybe you have a heart for caring for people and nurturing people and loving people. That's where you have your joy be complete. It keeps you up in the morning. It makes you stay up at night when you see that it's not done that day. Like, your day's not complete unless you see that done in someone's life. That's why Jesus came. So that your joy can be complete. Your joy can be complete. And so maybe you got to figure that out. I'd love to invite you. Let's talk about it. Let's see how we can help you find your joy. Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. One of my favorite things. Remember we just finished up friending. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything I have learned from my Father, I've hidden from you. No. I made known to you. This is my favorite, one of my favorite parts of this passage too, outside of John 15:5. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that what? So that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. The last thing that Jesus came to undo on this earth was limited love. Limited love. You see, on this earth, happiness is a feeling. And we equate love as a feeling, don't we? Like, we really do. We think that that's what love is. And it can come to an end. But what Jesus came is to show us unconditional love. No matter what. It has no limit. It has no limit. We don't have to come cleaned up. We don't have to come and have it all together. We don't have to have all of the Ten Commandments checked off and a box checked off and know all the five books of the Torah and have it all together and tie the tenth of our spices and have all these things together to come to Jesus. We just get to lay it at his feet because he loves us unconditionally. You see, when we're following Jesus, what's really hard for us when I talk about this thing called fruit, and the reason you got a halo, is the way that we bear fruit in our life is, see, we think this. I'm just going to lay it down to you for real. We think if I'm obedient to God, then he'll love me more. Am I wrong in that? Does anybody think that? Am I the only one where I think, hey, well, God said do not kill, so if I don't kill anybody, now I cuss them out like nobody's business, right? Like if I don't kill them, then he's going to love me. If I don't worship another God, TV show, This Is Us, just saying, I ain't here to judge you. I know it's a good show, but I ain't watching it, right? Like if I'm obedient, then God will love me more. And Jesus is saying, hey, no, cut that mess out. I came to tell you I love you enough that it's going to be easy to follow me. And what it means is life isn't going to be easy. It's just because I love you, you'll grow in my love. And because of that, you'll be obedient to what I'm telling you to do. It's not that you've got to be obedient to have love. It's that because of my love, I'm obedient. So I'm hoping that makes sense. And I want to land it to say this. Because I love Jesus, because I know he loved me first, and there's no greater love in this world, it's easy for me to take a next step sometimes. What will happen is I see that so many times as I grow in love, it positively affects my obedience to Jesus, not negatively. And because I know he loved me first, and I grow in my love for him and my love for others, just as he's called me to do, and I'm obedient to those next steps that he takes, the disobedience in my life kind of fades away. Like I follow Jesus not so that I can get a check mark off to say that I've got all these things done. It's because I'm growing in love. I'm growing in the fruit that is love. It's not got anything to do with just me having these check boxes. But yet so many times we want those in our life, don't we? Like there's order. It makes sense. We think that if I'm just obedient, then he'll bless me. He said I ask anything in the Father's name, I'll get it. I've asked for the winning lotto numbers. Holla at your boy, it ain't happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything in my Father's name. Well, here's what I'm asking. Can I grow in love? Because when I grow in love, I'll grow in obedience. And so what's hard for the Christian and bearing fruit is the true fruit will come from obedience. 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 That's it. But you can't just be obedient. You got to lay it down. You got to know that he loved you first. And so the hard thing in our life is that, because when I say I love the Lord, I have to fill my life with what stirs my affections for him. So for me, I'll be honest with you, I love to be seeing the sunshine. I have to see nature some way when my affections are stirred for the Lord. It's just mine. Some is singing. If you heard mine, you would know that's not affectionate for anyone around me. Some it's singing. Some is singing in the shower. Some it's in the car. You love driving. Like, that stirs your affection for the Lord. And praise God, bless you. It stirs your affection for the Lord. Well, that stirred affection is love. And it helps me be more obedient because I can hear him. And so many times in our walk, that's what we do is we want to take the things that stirs our affections and we want to box them in. And we think that if I'm just obedient, then the disobedience will go, well, we just have to fill our lives more with the things that stir our affections. So what I mean by this is, if I try to read my Bible all the time and I have the TV on, and I'm watching a certain news channel, not going to be political, a certain news channel, and it's stopping me from reading my Bible and connecting with God, then disobediently, I'm probably watching the news channel. I need to get away from the news channel and have some time where I can have my affections stirred with the Lord, because that'll make me grow in my love and in the fruit. But so many times in our life, we can't find what stirs us. So my prayer is in this 21-day fast, you find what stirs you. I think the thing that God's asking you to lay down may be something that's preventing you from finding the things that stirs your affection for him in your life. So I would ask you, as we finish out this 21-day fast, come be a part of it. You don't have to do 21 days. We've got, 10 days left, I think, if I remember right. Come be a part of it. Find what stirs your affection for the Lord. Because here's where we can be, here's where I want us all to land today. Alone, our love is limited. You see, the reason that Jesus gives this reference of the vine is, see, all these branches work together to be a part of this fruit being born, if you will. These fruit giving forth these things, this halo. Like there was a tree, and what happened is one of those halos fell down, right? And there was seed in that halo, and that seed died to give life to the branches that these little halos were on. I would guess that's where they are, unless they're a bush. I don't know what they grew on. I'm assuming a tree. Somewhere someone climbed it and grabbed them down, right? If I did that wrong, I'm sorry. Fact checks are going to screw me over on that one. But that's what happened, right? So all these branches worked together. So if there was a dead branch, it would have prevented that from growing. But what happened is the fruit was born in the life of the branch because it was connected to the vine. And here's what I want you to know. Alone, that branch couldn't do anything. Alone, that branch that fell just withered and died. And so many times in our life, when we talk about love that is limited, we think that if I love enough with my one branch, then the rest of the branches will have it. The rest of the branches can grow. And it doesn't work that way. The only way that you can love someone enough is connect them to the vine, connect them to Jesus, get them to a place where they can really experience unlimited love. Because when you're both experiencing unlimited love, fruit happens. Fruit is bared forth. So you can't do enough love on your own. I know that sounds crazy, because the love that you have will die with you. It's a crazy thing to hear and say, right? But it's real. But when you're connected to the vine, the love that you have is eternal, and it'll go on forever. So my question as we get down to the end of this is, what does that look like in our life? When we look back over our life, can we say that we've seen fruit in our life? Like, we see fruit in the chair, right? But like, have we seen fruit in our life? Can we say that we are faithless fruit or faithful fruit? Can we say that we aren't afraid to go to the very presence of God, and the only reason of that is because we have a relationship with Jesus and we're connected with a vine? Can we say that we can have unlimited love for others because Christ first loved us? Even when we don't agree, even when we don't think that what they're doing is right, do we still have unconditional love for others? And if we look back over our life and we see that the fruit in our life is faithless, I have good news for you today. There is a way. Come to the vine. Come to Jesus. You don't have to be cleaned up to do it. You don't have to have your ducks in a row. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to say, if he only knew what I did last night. He knows. It's okay. He died for it anyway. He died for what you're going to do tomorrow. It's okay. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to his presence. All you got to do is surrender your life to him and believe he is who he says he is. And so today, as we look back over our life, if you've never done that, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He came down here not so that a chosen, set aside, a set apart people could be saved. He came so that everyone could have the opportunity for salvation. He came to say, I am the vine. Listen, I am God in flesh. I am living the life that you can't live. I am dying the death that you deserve. And I'm allowing you to have life. And so as we look over our life, my question is really, 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 where's the fruit in your life? We're going to have a quiet moment here as everyone bows their head and close their eyes as we get ready for the end. And I just want you to think about that. Like, where is the fruit in your life? When you look back over your life, can you say that you've been connected to the vine? Like, was it something that was a faith-made decision, or was it something that was just words you spoke that wasn't filled with faith? Like, is it something that you just thought you had to check off be a part of this thing? Maybe that's where you are. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's what I want to tell you. If you look back over your life and you see that it's not a life that is connected to the vine, that is connected to a relationship with Jesus, I want to tell you why we all need it. You see, every one of us have this thing that is making us a disconnected branch to the vine, a disconnected branch to God. And that thing is sin. That thing is something that we deserve death for. And it's because it's what we're born into. And the thing is, we can continue down that path, and we can continue to stay in this thing called sin. And it'll lead us to a place. It'll lead us to a place. A place where we'll be a branch disconnected from the vine and thrown in the fire. But there is hope. And that hope is Jesus, because Jesus came, lived the life that we couldn't live. See, what would happen is we would have to check off all the boxes of the law and have it all together, and none of us are clean enough or perfect enough to do that. And Jesus came and he said, I am the vine, and hey, you were clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You are clean because of what I'm about to do. So Jesus came and lived the life that we couldn't live and died the death that we deserved for our sins. I know I've said it more than one time, but I really am saying to you who the Spirit is pressing in on, I just want you to know seriously, you don't have to have it together to come to the Father. You just have to believe Jesus is who he says he is. And it's this, with faith, you confess that you are a sinner. You confess that you believe he died the death on a cross that you deserved, but he loved you enough not to stay dead, but rose again the third day. And if that's you today, we're about to say a prayer. It's not going to be the words of this prayer that make you saved, because the words of the prayer don't matter as much as the faith of the prayer. Faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me for the benefit of those who are coming to the Father for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you died for my sins, lived the life I couldn't live, and loved me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me how to follow you step by step, the best way I know how, the rest of my life, so that I may bear eternal fruit for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's the first time you've ever said with faith that prayer, I'm just going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If that's the first time with faith you've ever said that prayer. One, two, three. If that's you, raise your hand. If that's you and you believe, thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If you're online and that's you, I'm begging you, please comment. Like, we want to reach out to you. We want you to know that you don't have to do this alone, that you have a purpose, and that you matter, and that Jesus died for you, but more importantly, he died so that you can have community connected to the vine, so that you cannot do this alone, so that you can bear fruit. And if that's you, don't let today go by without us knowing, because we want to celebrate with you. And if you prayed that prayer, there are angels celebrating in heaven. Eternally, you are changed. You have life. You have hope. And there are people that want to just, gosh, wrap their arms around you and celebrate. So today, if that's you, don't let today go by without letting somebody know. And for everyone else, you've got to, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to reach in your chair, and you've got this halo. You've got this orange. And think about that orange. Think about how great it is, how it gives nourishment, how it gives life, how that fruit in your life will give life to others. I just want to ask you, what's that fruit look like in your life? Maybe you need to talk to somebody about that. Don't let today go by without talking to somebody about that. Please, please, we want to walk with you. None of us have it together. All of us have fruit that we can't bear alone. We have to do it together. That's the beauty of the church. We are one body together. Jesus came so that we can be connected to the Father. The vine is Jesus, connected to the source. And all these branches work together so that more of these halos, more angels, can be in heaven. So today, if you're struggling with the fruit, I'm going to be at the back after the message. I'm going to be over at a table over to the back left. Or maybe you just need to pray with somebody. There are people in this house that want to pray with you. If you are online, there are people that want to pray with you. Comment, email us, hello@thevine.tv. You can reach out to us by text. Text us at 864-580-6698. That's 864-580-6698. Let us know. We want to pray with you and walk with you through this so that you can see the fruit in your life. So, dear Jesus, as we get ready to worship here this last song, Let us celebrate the fruit that you allow us to see in our life. God, none of us are worthy. None of us have it all together. None of us deserve what you've given us. But by your grace and mercy, by your mighty hand, we get to do this. And you love us enough that we get to be a part of fruit, eternal fruit, not fruit that dies, not fruit that temporarily satisfies, but fruit that is forever. Thank you, Jesus. Let us worship this last song like we've not only experienced the fruit, but we know the fruit that is about to come because we are in you. We love you, Jesus.